Hey everyone, this is Matt Hanks from Seymour Christian Church, and I want to thank you for listening to this message. My hope is through this message you are able to grow closer to Christ. Thanks for listening.
We are summer in the Psalms. We're going through different Psalms. Tonight will be Psalm 96 if you brought a Bible or electronic device with a phone on it. Psalm 96. But we say all that to let you know it's common to have fears. Actually, was there any fears that you guys know about that I didn't think to mention for our game? Yes. Oh, the fear of long words. Yes. Leah, no. Oh, tornadoes. I thought she said homework. Okay. Yeah. Go fast.
Dang, I forgot.
Okay.
Fear of McDonald's play places.
Okay. Oh, some of us do have the germ. Is it a germaphobe thing? Some of us are afraid of germs that are in public places. Oh. Okay, let's take about one or two more. Yes. Okay.
School.
Yes. Last one. Oh, good one. A lot of us have that one. And a lot of us have fears that we're either born with, like I was born with a fear of heights, but it's only the fear of like falling. Like say, if I'm up in an airplane, I'm not afraid. I went up in the St. Louis Arch, you know, it's beautiful up there, not afraid. Because I told myself a million people have been up in this thing. It hasn't fallen yet. What are the odds it'll fall the minute I get up there? But if I'm like on the roof of my house and I look over the side, I get terrified. And we went to the Grand Canyon a few years ago. And we got to the Grand Canyon. There's one spot where there's a cement floor. There's big steel bars. And then a big railing about this high. I could look straight down. The Grand Canyon's a little bit more than a mile down to the bottom. And I could look straight down, not scared at all. We went to a different part of the canyon where there was no cement, no rail. And I got about as far as me to Jenna. And I was like, that's all I could do. And my kids were going up closer. Dad, come get a picture with us. I was like, we're going to get a picture from here. Because I couldn't get, it was a fear of falling. And that I'm born with. And I don't know if there's anything you can ever do with it. It's just how God made us all different. Some fears come because of something that's happened to us before. When I was a child, I got attacked by a large dog. So now I am still afraid of large dogs. Not afraid of little ones, but if a big dog comes and barks and it just freezes me because somehow that, I guess that subconscious memory comes back. And God doesn't want us to be full of fear because sometimes what happens too is the thing called anxiety. Do you guys know what anxiety is? Okay, explain to the class, what is anxiety? Yes. That's a good start with explanation. Somebody else, what's anxiety? That was really good. Yes. Yeah, when you're anxious, but what does it mean to be anxious? Yeah, Brent.
Your fear stops you physically and mentally from going forward.
Yeah.
And you're stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fear is like if I go to somebody's house to visit them and I knock, 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 and I hear this woo, 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 behind the door. My first thought is I'd rather be in my car because I don't know when they open that door, what's that dog going to do? Anxiety is I haven't even knocked on the door yet. And I'm afraid that when I do knock on the door, there might be a dog behind it. So I'm not going to go visit that person, even though they're sick or they want a pastor to come help them with something or talk to them. Anxiety would keep me from even doing that. Does God want us to be fearful? No. Does God want us to be anxious and not do all the things that he's called us to do because of the fear of the fear? No. Is God himself fearful? No. God, what's God afraid of? Nothing. What's God anxious? Is God in heaven right now, all worried about something and he can't act because he's so full of anxiety and worry? And is God just wringing his hands? God biting his fingernails right now? No. God's free from all that because God has all the power in the universe. He is everywhere. He knows all things and he knows how everything's going to turn out. And you know what God wants? He wants the same for you that he has. He wants you to have that peace and that comfort. And that's what Psalm 96 is about. Before we get, I was going to do something. Matt's running the slideshow for me. And we just got back from Dominican Republic. We take a mission trip every year, our church does. And in the Dominican Republic, they don't point with their fingers. They think that's rude. They say you point at animals, you point at children, you don't point at adults. So down there, if they want to get somebody's attention, they'll do that. They'll say, like, there's my friend Natalie. Paul, nice shirt. They do that. So Matthew, every time I want the next slide, I'll just point at you, okay? So, and in today's lesson, we have two or three times we have the bad news and the good news, okay? Like one time I went to see the doctor, and I had some tests done, and the doctor said, I've got some bad news and I got some good news. What do you want first? And I said, well, give me the good news first. He said, well, the good news is you've got one day to live. And I said, Doc, come on. How is that possibly the good news? He said, well, we were supposed to tell you yesterday. So this lesson will have some good news. The bad news is we're all born with fears. We all, by living life, we come up with fears. We have a brain that's almost wired for anxiety. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. The Lord promises us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. God has said, He has promised us that if we would pray and if we would work with Him, He would be able to free us from these fears and these anxieties that can cripple us. All right, Psalm 96. I'm going to ask you guys to read. I broke it into three sections. It's a small psalm, but it seems like he's trying to say three different things. So I was going to see if I could have some good readers who would volunteer. You want to try it, Ems? Okay, Matthew, let's go ahead and pop that first one up there. Psalm 96, and we're going to do the first four. Okay, the first four verses, if you would, please. Oh, really? Or do you want to stand beside me so people can hear you better? Okay, because if you're facing that way, they'll hear you. Oh, wait, you can't face that way. We have a problem. Okay, go ahead and read it.
Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Praise His name each day. Proclaim the good news that He saves. Publish His glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things He does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise.
All right. Let's show Emma how much we appreciate her reading that. Good job. All right. We'll go back to verse. We'll just look at each verse one at a time. Could we get back to Matthew? Can we get back to verse one, please? I just want to walk through them really fast. The first thing he says in the psalm is sing to the Lord a new song. Why a new song? Why not just sing the same old song we've sung for the last 50 years? Bingo. What if, say you love your mother very much, and every time mom has a birthday or Christmas or Mother's Day, you bought her the same thing. Say you bought her a purple apron, and then the next birthday comes, you buy her another one, then Mother's Day, then Christmas, and over and over and over, and eventually mom would be like, great, now I've got 75 purple aprons. Good job. Way to go, kids. What would be the nice, loving thing to do for mom? Give her something different. Maybe she would like a dress or a piece of jewelry or a coupon for a night out or something she's been talking about for years that she would love to have. We love to give gifts to each other that are new, that are thoughtful, that are special between you and me. And so he starts out by saying, when we sing to God, when we praise God, let's do something new for Him. Let's think of something very special. Verse 2. This one's telling us a great news that every day we should praise God because every day He saves. If I am worried about something, what will God do? God will save me. If I am anxious about something, God can save me. That's the good news, that God saves. He's there with us in the fight. He knows what we're going through, and he's willing to save us. Verse 3, he does marvelous deeds among the people. Do you know God is a God of miracles? We know in Jesus' time, 2,000 years ago, the Bible tells us about 42 miracles that Jesus did. 1,000 years before that, God was doing miracles with Elijah and the other prophets. 1,000 years before that, God was doing miracles with Moses and some of the other great men of God. Our God is a God of miracles. He loves doing miracles. I think I've seen 3 in my lifetime. And do you guys mind if I tell you about one? It's a little bit long because it's impossible to tell a whole story short, and you guys get it. But this was about probably 15 or 20 years ago. You guys know where the airport is here in Seymour, really close to where we are now. About every 10 years, they have war games here. And if you guys have lived in Seymour very long, you'll remember that. This time they had 10,000 soldiers. They were Army National Guardsmen, came to Freeman Field. They had tents everywhere, and they did like 2 weeks of war games. The last day of those war games, a group of guys from this church and a couple other churches were going to go to this, and one guy named Tim Toborg, I don't know if you guys know Mr. Toborg, the DARE resource officer, he owns a snow cone, a snow cone trailer, like at Oktoberfest, they have those trailers you sell stuff out of. He owns one of those. So he was going to set that up so that the soldiers, after that big, hard day, it was in July, so it was really hot, he was going to pass out snow cones, and he wanted 4 guys to go with him, free, 4 guys to go to stand at the 4 corners of the trailer and pass out Bibles. In case any of the soldiers want a Bible, we'll give them a free one. And they were cool. They were little, tiny Bibles. They were camouflage on the outside, and they fit. If you guys ever seen the Army outfits, they've got all these little pockets all around. How many pockets do they have? Probably 24 or 30. Everywhere's a pocket, and it fit inside one of those little pockets. So a soldier could carry a Bible, and he'd have it all day long. So we were going to pass those out. Well, we get to the event the day of, and my brother thought that Tim was getting the Bibles. Tim thought that this guy named Gary Dyer was getting the Bibles, and Gary thought my brother was getting the Bibles. So we get there, and all we had was one box of Bibles. It was literally about this big. I think it said 48 on it, just one box of Bibles. But other guys were getting like 6 boxes. And we were like, boy, it's going to take us 5 minutes to pass out 48 Bibles, you know, especially with 10,000 soldiers coming over to get free snow cones. So we get there. We're like, oh, well, we'll just pray with the guys. We'll talk to them. We'll do whatever. So we get there. And I was passing out Bibles like they were Skittles all day long. And every time I went back to the box, I would grab more. And then it hit me about an hour into the event, why is nobody else passing out Bibles but me? And I kept going back and going back. And we got done. All the guys were leaving. We were closing up. Seemed like we were done probably 2 hours later. It was getting dark. And we got together, and we started talking as we were shutting everything down. And I was like, guys, why didn't you pass out Bibles? And they were like, are you joking? And the guy's like, I feel like I passed out 100. Me, personally, I feel like I passed out 100 or 200 myself. And we went back to that box, and it was missing about 2 stacks of Bibles. It looks like maybe 6 or 8 were out of that box. And we looked around for empty Bibles. We thought, somebody playing a trick on us? And I'm literal saying that we probably passed out 600 Bibles. You remind me the story Jesus told about the fish and the bread and the 5,000 afterwards, there were still full baskets. And I was like, there's still a full box. And we had one box and it's still full. And we passed out Bibles like crazy. And so our God is a God of miracles who can step in and provide when things are needed, and he can help and he can give us. Isn't that good news? Should we be afraid? Should we worry and have anxiety? No, God's in control. He's got, wherever you go in this world, God is already there. He's ahead of you, and he is able to take care of every need. And then verse 4, it says, he deserves our praise. He is most worthy of our praise. What gift does God need? Say you want to give God a gift. Say it's Christmas. It's Jesus' birthday. Say you're going to give God a gift. What gift would you give him? I mean, would you get him a new pair of shoes? Would you get him something nice so his hair looks good? Would you get him a gift card for Starbucks. No, because if God wants a cup of coffee, what does he do? Poof. He'd pour water, and then he would turn water into coffee. There's a miracle. Turn water into nitro. But if God wanted a new car, what would he do? He would say, let there be a car. If he wanted anything. But what is the one thing we could give God? I think you girls know the answer, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Yes. Is that what you're going to say? And Miss Darlene?
Give him our love.
Yeah. Is that what?
We give him our souls, our only souls.
Exactly. Do you guys know something? I mean, as a father, I've been given lots of gifts before, but some of the ones that I remember the most are when my kids said something like, you're a really good dad, or dad, thank you for giving me this or that. Words of appreciation are so powerful. Some of you guys have had good coaches in sports. Some of you guys have had bad coaches. And a good coach can inspire and make you want to do amazing things. And all we can give God is our praise. It's the one thing we can give him. Sometimes we think of offerings as money or maybe a little bit of time or maybe using our gifts for him. I think one of the best offerings we can give God is just tell him the truth. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for providing. Thank you for helping. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for, you know, taking care of the stuff. Sometimes I pray, God, thank you for the things I don't even know what to thank you for. Because I think there's times that we're driving down the road and a car swerves, but it swerves back. And I wonder if that was God waking that person up and saving my life. And I didn't even realize it. I'm just listening to the radio going down the road. So there's times I think God saves us and we don't even recognize or realize. So, all right, I need another reader. We're going to look at the second part. You don't mind? Okay, come up just so everybody can read better. We're going to read now the last of 4 through verse 8. And Matthew will put it up on the screen for you. Nice and loud.
He is to be feared above all gods.
Oh, there's a bunch of verses.
Okay.
Maybe not that loud.
The gods of other nations are mere idols. But the Lord made the heavens for you, and you, and you, and you, all of you.
Honor?
Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty fill his sanctuary. Sanctuary. Oh, nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Yeah. Give the Lord the glory he deserves.
Amen.
Bring your offering and come into his courts.
Oh, yes.
All right, let's give it up. Okay, it says in a lot of the translations of the Bible that God is to be feared. And I just wanted to cover that before we go on, because we're talking tonight about how God wants us to be free from fear and free from anxiety. But now the writer of this song says, God is the only one we should fear. Somebody help me understand that. Ave. Yeah, I actually looked that word up. Bible, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And it doesn't just mean fear like we think of fear, like fear of dogs or the fear of heights. It means like reverence or awe. As a for instance, reverence is when you realize you should calm yourself down. Has anybody ever been to a funeral before? Okay, if you know a really funny joke, should you go into that funeral and tell that joke to the people who are there? But really, truthfully, should you go into a funeral and tell a joke? It's not the time or the place, is it? In there, you should have reverence. Same as like at a wedding. If you go to a wedding and you see the bride, she spent the last 2 days getting herself ready for that moment. If you don't like her hair, should you tell her, "Your hair looks terrible. I think your hairstyle is horrible"? No, you have reverence in that moment because she is the guest of honor of what's going on. You keep it to yourself. Self-discipline, I guess, is the best way to say reverence. And he says, around God, you don't fear things. You don't fear stuff because there's nothing in this world that can, maybe it can hurt the body, but it can't hurt the soul. And the soul is what's going to live forever. He says, the only one you should have reverence for is for God. Be in awe of God and his greatness. I'm going to look at 5 and then 6, then we're going to skip forward. The gods of the other nations, you know, every country's had gods that they worship, but they're all false. They're all fake. They can do nothing for you. You worship the one true God. And then 6, I'm sorry, I pointed at you. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty fill his sanctuary. I think he's saying give God what he deserves. He deserves our praise. He deserves our honor. He deserves our reverence. And let's give God what, because of all he's done for us. And you think about all the promises he's made. He would help us. He'd heal us. He'd forgive us. He'd protect us. He'd provide for us, forgive us of all of our sins. He'd help us in so many situations. And yet, all he wants us to do is praise him and to thank him. All right, one more reader. You went to from there, or you went to from up here? Okay. And this will be verses 9 through 13. This will end our chapter.
Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor.
Yes.
Let all the earth tremble before him. Tell all the nations the Lord reigns. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. He will judge all peoples fairly. Let all heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. Mm-hmm. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth.
All right. Matthew, I'm going to go back to the second verse there, verse 10. Oh, yeah, that's right. Give it up for sweet Caroline. The one part I wanted to bring out of that verse 10 there is he will judge fairly. The time this was written was the time in history they call the time of the kings. Every nation on the world was ruled by a king. And the king, if he liked something, he just took it. Say you'd spent a lot of time raising horses, and you had some of the nicest horses around. They were worth a lot of money. And the king saw your horses. What could he do? He'd just take them. Say you had a really nice vineyard. You'd spend all your time on the vines or on the trees or on your garden or anything. If you had anything good, what could the king do? He would just take it. If he wanted it, he took it. Sometimes the kings would go to war with other countries for no good reason at all. And he would say, I want all the men to come. Yeah, guys, let's. He would say, I want all the guys to come. We're going to make an army, and you're going to march, and you're going to go die. And all the women would lose their husbands, and all the children would lose their fathers for no good reasons, because the king had absolute control. And he's saying, God's not like the kings that you know. God is going to be fair. He will give you what you deserve. If you're bad, yes, he'll punish you. If you're good, you won't be punished. You'll be taken care of, and you'll be provided, and you'll be protected. And then the last one, Matthew, I was going to go to is two from that, verse 12, where he talks about how even nature knows to worship God. He says the trees of the field worship God. The rivers worship God. The mountains worship God. The stones cry out to him. Everything on earth cries out, thank you, God, you're so good. Except what? What's the only creation that doesn't cry out to God? Probably,
but he knows who God is. Yeah, unfortunately, it's us. Sometimes we forget to tell God how wonderful he is and how appreciative we are. So what are some reasons we don't need to fear and we don't need to be anxious? I've just pulled these out of the previous verses. God saves. I won't make you go through them because it'd be too fast. God saves us. God changes things for our good. He is the creator of all. He's glorious and strong. He's a God of miracles. He judges fairly, and he judges in the truth. Last verse I'll leave you with, and I didn't tell you it was coming. 1 John chapter 4. John writes, perfect love casts out. Say it loud and proud. Perfect love casts out fear. Is God's love perfect? Yes. So we can claim that today in our prayers as we go to small groups, that God would help to free us from our fears and free us from our anxieties so that we can live the life he's created us to live. I want to say a prayer of blessing, and then we'll go to small groups. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the chance we have to come and play games and eat ice cream sandwiches and talk to each other and build friendships. And you are so good, God. Thank you for Matthew and the other adults that come. Thank you for the church that opens the doors. And thank you for our homes, our families, our schools, our jobs. So many blessings you give us. Over and over again, you protect us and provide for us. And thank you. We just want to take a moment now, like Psalm 96 says, and praise you as a God who is worthy to be praised. Father, you know, we do carry around fears. Fears that are rational. Some fears are irrational. Some that we've acquired as we've gotten older. And Father, we just want to ask you to help us to be free from the fears that paralyze us and keep us from doing what we need to be doing. Father, please free us from the anxiety that steals joy from life. And I know you want us to, you want your children to be joyful and peaceful. And Father, please help us to do the best that we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.